Welcome to episode 948 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
The air in Antioch is thick with the scent of spices and the hum of voices speaking multiple languages, reflecting the city's vibrant multicultural essence. In the bustling marketplace, the Apostle Peter, known to his Jewish brethren as Cephas, moves among the people, his heart light with the joy of fellowship. He has been warmly received by Gentile believers here, and he finds himself sharing meals with them, breaking bread in a genuine display of the unity that the gospel brings. Peter's laughter echoes as he recounts stories of Jesus' miracles and teachings to a group of attentive Gentile Christians. Their eyes sparkle with the same awe and wonder he once felt walking beside the Messiah. The walls of division that once stood tall between Jew and Gentile seem to crumble with every shared meal, every hearty laugh, every earnest prayer. Yet, even as he enjoys newfound camaraderie, doubt lingers at the edges of Peter's mind. He is aware some Jewish Christians, especially those from Jerusalem, hold fast to the customs of the law. What will they think of his behavior? He pushes the thought aside, but it gnaws at him, a silent whisper of fear. The day everything changed dawns like any other, bright and filled with promise. Peter is in the midst of another joyous meal with Gentile brothers and sisters when he sees them. A group of Jewish Christians from Jerusalem. Their stern faces and formal greetings, a stark contrast to the open warmth of the Gentiles. Peter's heart skips a beat, a cold dread settling in his stomach. He feels the weight of their expectations, the unspoken demand for adherence to tradition. Slowly, Peter begins to withdraw. He no longer joins the Gentiles at the table. He avoids their homes. He justifies his actions to himself. It's just for now, until the Jerusalem party leaves. But he knows the truth. Fear drives him, not conviction. This retreat does not go unnoticed. His actions speak louder than any sermon, than any declaration of faith. Paul, the tireless apostle to the Gentiles, watches with growing concern and anger. He sees the hurt in the eyes of Gentile believers, sees the confusion and pain as they are made to feel like outsiders. Even Barnabas, Paul's trusted companion, is swayed by Peter's example, joining in this hypocritical separation. Paul's heart burns with righteous indignation. This is not the gospel they have preached. One evening, in the crowded courtyard of a house church, Paul can contain his anger no longer. The room falls silent as he stands, his presence commanding attention. Peter looks up, his heart sinking as he meets Paul's fiery gaze.
"Cephas,"
Paul begins, his voice steady but loud enough for all to hear.
"You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it, then, that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?"
The room holds its collective breath. Peter feels his cheeks burn with shame. Paul's words cut through the air like a sword, laying bare the hypocrisy the former Galilean fisherman had hoped to conceal. He looks around, seeing the Gentile believers' eyes filled with hurt and the Jewish Christians' expressions of confusion and judgment. Paul continues, his voice filled with a mix of sorrow and determination.
"We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we, too, have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified."
Peter's heart pounds. He knows Paul is right. He has allowed fear to dictate his actions, undermining the very essence of the gospel. He feels a surge of remorse and a deep, painful awareness of his own fallibility. He stumbled, just as he had when he denied Christ thrice before the rooster crowed. The sting of that memory brings tears to his eyes. In the days that follow, Peter reflects deeply on Paul's rebuke. It is a turning point, a painful yet necessary reminder of the gospel's truth, that salvation and sanctification are through faith in Christ alone, not adherence to the law. He begins to rebuild the bridges he has torn down, humbling himself before the Gentile believers and reaffirming the unity they share in Christ. Years later, as Peter pens his epistles, his words flow with a profound understanding of grace. He writes extensively about God's unmerited favor, urging believers to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. He calls sanctification a work of the Spirit, not of the law. His letters echo with the humility of a man who has learned, painfully but surely, that grace, not law, is the heart of the gospel. Peter never forgets Paul's boldness, nor the lesson he learns in Antioch. In his writings, he refers to Paul as a beloved brother, acknowledging the wisdom God has given him. He recognizes Paul's letters as scripture, even though they are sometimes hard to understand. And through it all, Peter champions the cause of grace, his own life a testament to the transformative power of Christ's love and forgiveness.
Paul's message needs to be understood in its context. To convince his fellow Jewish Christians, he starts with a common understanding, the traditional distinction between Jews and Gentiles. Jews were seen as God's chosen people, given his law, and enjoying the benefits of a covenant with him. Gentiles, on the other hand, were considered sinners, not bound by God's law and outside his promises. While Gentiles were obviously sinners, Paul warns Jewish Christians in that their spiritual privileges do not make them more acceptable to God, because no one is justified by works of the law. The term justify is crucial for Paul. Out of the 39 times it appears in the New Testament, Paul uses it 27 times, including 8 in Galatians, with 4 in Galatians 2, verses 16 to 17. Justification is a legal term, meaning a person is declared innocent of charges, the opposite of condemnation. Because just and righteous come from the same Greek word, to be justified means being counted as righteous. Thus, justification is more than pardon. It's a positive declaration of righteousness. For some Jewish believers, justification was also relational, involving their covenant with God. To be justified meant being a faithful member of God's covenant community, the family of Abraham. These Jewish Christians did not deny faith in Christ, but believed faith alone wasn't enough. It needed to be supplemented with obedience. They thought justification came through both faith and works. Paul strongly opposed this, repeatedly contrasting faith in Christ with the works of the law, insisting that faith alone is the basis of justification. For Paul, faith is not just an abstract concept. It's inseparably connected to Jesus. The Greek phrase translated as faith in Christ in Galatians 2 verse 16 is richer, meaning the faithfulness of Jesus. This highlights the contrast between our works and Christ's work for us. Faith itself doesn't add to justification. It's the means by which we accept Christ's work on our behalf. We are justified by Christ's faithfulness, which we claim through faith. Christ did what no one else could. He was faithful to God in everything. Our hope lies in his faithfulness, not our own. Paul emphasizes that faith is foundational to the Christian life. It's how we receive God's promises in Christ. But what is faith? Genuine biblical faith is always a response to God, originating from a heart touched by gratitude for God's goodness. Faith follows God's initiatives, like Abraham's faith in God's promises or our faith in Christ's sacrifice. Many people define faith as belief, but this definition is problematic. In Greek, faith is the noun form of to believe, so defining one with the other is circular. Scripture shows that faith involves not only knowledge of God, but also acceptance and commitment to him. True faith affects our entire lives, leading to the obedience of faith. It's not just intellectual assent, but a commitment to Jesus Christ, affecting how we live and in whom we trust. The incident at Antioch serves as a powerful reminder of the necessity of living out the gospel truth in our everyday actions. It highlights the importance of standing firm in the freedom and grace that Christ provides, avoiding the temptation to revert to legalism. As we reflect on this story, may we be inspired to embrace and live out the unity and love that Jesus exemplified, knowing that our justification is through faith alone. Father, help us to embrace the freedom found in justification by faith. May we always remember that it is your grace, not our works, that saves us. Give us the courage and wisdom to live lives of obedience and faithfulness to you. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.